from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy in for Mark Willard. He'll be back on Wednesday alongside Dan Dibley here on Willard and Dibs. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to check out both Bonte and Shasky and Steiny and Guru as they reacted to Steph Curry's epic performance from Saturday in the gold medal game in Paris to help lead Team USA to a gold medal over Team France on home soil. An awesome win for Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and company for Team USA. Dibs, did you happen to see what Tyrese Halliburton posted on social media after the team won gold?
Yeah.
So he posted a picture of him with the gold medal around his neck, and he said, "When you ain't do none on the group project and still get an A."
That's perfect.
He didn't play much, but he's got the gold medal just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, and shout out Christian Laettner, who had the same experience on the Dream Team back in 92.
There's always a couple of guys right at the end of the bench, and you still get the gold.
And you can't play all 12 guys, and Halliburton played a little bit early, and then when you got down to the real tight games, and you know White didn't play either, so you ended up playing just 10 guys yesterday, and it was, even at that, you didn't even really play 10 guys. You played about 7.
Tatum played a little bit in the first half.
11 minutes,
yeah.
And, you know, Adebayo played just a little bit, and, you know, you had Embiid get a solid stretch. And I do want to shout out Devin Booker for playing the way he played, because all we've seen from Booker with Phoenix is, you know, very much a me-first, selfish kind of player, but that's not the way he played in these Olympic Games.
Well, I'm going to have a hard time finding it right now, but there was someone, I don't know if they were tweeting at Devin Booker, I don't think so. I think it was just a generic NBA fan on Twitter saying, Team USA, looking ahead to this Olympics, it might have been a couple of years ago, looking ahead to this Olympics, said something along the lines of, Team USA is going to need one of these stars to be willing to take on a role, on just a role and maybe a little bit of a backseat, but fill a role that's needed. Devin Booker, way back when, quote tweeted it and said, I'll do it. And it kind of has resurfaced since then because everything you said is right. He's an awesome shooter, and he's, you know, a franchise centerpiece for the Phoenix Suns. He's been there for a really, really long time. One of the biggest reasons why they went to the NBA Finals a few years ago. And he played a lot of minutes, not because he was the driving force behind anything, but because he was willing to do all those small things, hang out in the corner, hit an open three when it was needed, but hustle, play some good defense, get some rebounds, and that was exactly what Steve Steve Kerr needed. And just as you were, Steve Kerr was also very complimentary of Devin Booker.
Yeah, he had 6 points against Serbia in the semifinals. And then he came out, and I want to make sure I get this right, but I think he had like 5 points in the gold medal game. Not much more than that. Very quiet.
So, I mean, he still played a lot of minutes. He played more.
Actually, 15 in the gold medal game.
Oh, yeah. That's better than
27 minutes.
Yeah, 27 minutes in a 40-minute game, all but 13 minutes. He knew as they needed him on the floor, and he filled that role very well. All right, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. Running through Steph Curry and what he did on Saturday and on Thursday as well to help Team USA win gold. What might this mean for the Golden State Warriors going forward? We can get into that. But first, let's go back out to the phone lines, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. Up next is JD in Oakland. JD, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. How you doing, JD?
I'm doing well. What's going on, Dibs? How you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Well, I just want to be the first one to say Steph Curry has lied to the NBA and the basketball fans all over the world.
Please explain.
By that, I mean he's made you think because he's 6'2", 6'3", not truly athletic, that he can be duplicated at the NBA level because he's not a 6'10", 6'8", physically gifted athlete. A lot of people, a lot of kids, AAU kids, think they can go out and shoot 100 shots a day and be Steph Curry, and that's the biggest lie there is. You can't duplicate that guy because there's something special about what he does physically to make the shot that he makes. And so everybody out there that can hear the sound of my voice, understand and know Steph is lying. Don't think you can duplicate that guy. He's just as hard to duplicate as Shaq and LeBron and everybody else. So don't fall for that. And secondly, some of these deals that needs to happen for the Warriors, you got to appreciate the deals that don't happen. Marketing, everybody believes, would have been a good deal. But mind you, the next team he's on will be his fourth team. So that means there's been at least 3 teams willing to let him go. So understand that, you know, we can, on paper, he looks like a great fit. And I'm glad, you know, that they didn't pull the trigger on a deal just to do it. I understand the guy's been around. He can play. He can shoot. He has a big body. But if there's 3 or 4 teams willing to give up on him, there's a reason why.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, JD. For the call. Thanks, JD. It's interesting because you look at the player and you think, man, 7-footer, size, length, he can stretch the floor, he can shoot the three. He seems like a perfect fit, but he's right about the fact that, you know, that would be 3 teams now who would have said, yeah, we're okay with you going somewhere else.
Yeah, I get that, but
it's situational.
NBA is such a unique league where you have teams that sometimes it benefits them to actually move off of young players who are kind of promising.
Right.
It's kind of weird like that, and a lot of other leagues aren't necessarily that way, but I mean, I had no doubt in my mind Markkanen would be a great fit here, but at the very earliest that you're getting him is a year from now. So, not quite a year, but a whole season away from now, because he's likely going to sign an extension, and then he's not going to be able to be traded at this trade deadline. So, as far as I'm concerned, the Markkanen conversation is completely over for the Golden State Warriors. I think another point that JD brought up that is a good one is Steph Curry is not... you know, you can't replicate Steph Curry. He's one of one, much like the athletic freaks like LeBron and Giannis and Shaq and Wemby, for that matter, all those guys. Steph Curry just does it with a different skill set, but it's also nearly, you can't replicate that. It's also, I think, something that made Steph Curry so popular was because he just kind of was like a normal dude who was dominating the NBA. Obviously, he's not normal. He looks relatively small when he's out there with these other giants, and you go up to him and you meet him in person, and he is very, very large. But for the most part, he can't dunk like crazy. He can't pull off a windmill. But he is able to dominate the NBA, and for the normal person, seeing someone like that have that much success at the highest stage, that's part of what made him so damn popular.
Right, but also, if you're a younger person and you look at the NBA players, you can't be Shaq unless you have, you know, genetics that are going to make you 7'1 and 380. You could be Steph Curry. Like, you could be Steph Curry. You're almost the same size as Steph Curry. You're about 6'2". He might be 6'3". So even as a young Mark Grandy, you could look at Steph and think, I could be Steph Curry. I'm the same size. I could learn to shoot and be really, really good at shooting. I could be Steph Curry. You can't be LeBron. You can't be Shaq. You can't be Anthony Davis. You can't be Wemby. And there's a lot of things you can't be. One thing you can be is Steph Curry. And of course you can't be, but as a younger person, you could look at it and think, you know what? If I work really hard, I might be able to be like Steph Curry. And I see it when I'm refereeing youth basketball in the winter. I see all these kids now behind the back and they all want to shoot the 30 footer and they're all trying to hoist it from as low as they can and throw it as far as they can. They want to be Steph because they look at Steph and they think I could be Steph Curry. And that, I think, is ultimately part of the magic of Steph Curry. Yes, he's unbelievable. Best shooter ever. He's clutch. He's heroic. Four-time champ. Everything that he is. But he's also very much, like, approachable and reachable.
Yeah.
If you're a younger person, you could look at Steph and think, well, he's 6'3". Even if I'm only, you know, 6'1", if I can shoot like that, if I can really work hard, I could be Steph Curry.
Who was it? Was it Mark Jackson who said something along the lines of Steph Curry has ruined basketball because he has given, as you're talking about, all these young kids like the license to just hoist from everywhere when, you know, you haven't quite worked on the rest of your game to back that up and you're maybe not even strong enough to be shooting from that far away? I think it might have been Mark Jackson who said something like that. And obviously, you just hear the headline, Mark Jackson says Steph Curry has ruined basketball.
Course, right.
A little bit deeper than that, and he actually has a point because everyone believes if there is an NBA star that I can be like, it's probably him because he doesn't have that crazy athleticism, the crazy height, the physical tools that all these others do that's simply unattainable for me. So then everyone gets out there on the basketball court and hoists from 30 feet out thinking that they can make it. But the reality is there's a reason why it's Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, and nobody else comes close because his ability to shoot the three is just about as rare as Shaq's ability to be 7 feet tall and as athletic and durable
exactly.
as he is.
But it's funny you say that because it's true, but it's so much more seemingly attainable when you look at it. You look at a guy
it's easy to convince yourself.
Right, because you look at a guy who's not physically overpowering, and you remember him in his early days in the baby-faced assassin, and he's, you know, not that muscular, and he's just a little dude who happens to have a nice little shot and all the rest of it. And well, now what we know about Steph is not only is he more physically gifted than we thought, but his work ethic and his hand-eye coordination is among the best we've ever seen. You know, you talk about the greatest athletes ever from a hand-eye standpoint, like, you know, Novak Djokovic and Federer and Nadal and whatever other athletes you want to talk about, just pure hand-eye. And then you mix that with a guy who has a work ethic that we've never seen before from a shooter and the fitness, because he's now 36 and he's even stronger and fitter than ever before. And he just basically carried the Olympic team down the stretch in an Olympic cycle where you had KD and LeBron and all these other younger, better quote-unquote athletes, and yet Steph was the guy they went to.
You brought up something that kind of got my mind running. It's a conversation that I've had in the past, and so Steph Curry, 36 now. He's obviously on the tail end of his career. No, no doubt about that. We don't know how many years he has left. Don't know how many really good years he has left. Obviously, it's very obvious he's still a very good basketball player at this moment. And when he reaches his peak levels, there are still very few basketball players, if any, that can also reach that kind of peak that Steph still can. Steph Curry's 36, Dibs, and I could argue to you, and I don't think it's that hot of a take, that Steph Curry is a much better basketball player right now at 36 than, say, he was at 28. Because of everything that he's had to do to ensure that he is still at this level at age 36 when few guards are still this good. And you look at the way that the league defends him and players defend him. If you want to be amazed, go back and watch how he was defended, like the Warriors' first postseason run, whether it was the Denver Nuggets in that first year they made the playoffs, which was 2013, or if you want to even go to the first finals run in 2015, watch how he was defended those seasons, and then compare it to how he's defended now. No one was picking him up at half court. No one was sending double teams his way. He got so many open looks, and he has to work so much harder now, Dibs, to get a single shot off than he did back then. And he was obviously incredible then, but considering the way defenses are changed now to stop him, and the way the geometry of the court has changed so much.
Right, it's elongated.
So, yeah, no doubt. It is so much more difficult for him to get looks than it was back then, and the fact that he still gets those looks and still shoots them at a pretty decent clip, I think Steph Curry, it's not just that he's staved off the downfall of when you get 35 and older, but for me, it's that he's actually gotten better than when he was in your normal prime, when you're like 26 to 30 years old. I think he's even better than he was then.
It's crazy to think about, because if you go back to when he was 26 and he won the MVP, his first MVP, and he averaged 23.8 a game, and he shot 44% from three.
It's pretty good.
And really good. And you look at what he's done since then, he last year shot 40.8% from three in the regular year. So not 44, but 41%, still very good. But your point is well taken, where
more difficult shots.
So much more difficult.
No doubt.
Because now whenever he gets across half court and he's got the ball, they're going to be on him. They're going to try to trap him, and they're going to, whenever he's off the ball, they're going to try to close out on him. And he averaged 26.4 a game this last year for a team that, you know, struggled relative to the championship teams. But if you look at his playoff years and his numbers from three are down, but he still scores as much, if not more, than he did back then. So he's not just a three-point shooter now. He's become a much more diverse, versatile player who could score at all three levels.
Yeah, I agree. 888-957-9570. Steph Curry's greatness, it was on display on Saturday for Team USA as they take home the gold with a victory over France in Paris. Let's go back out to the phone lines as we continue to celebrate the legend that is Steph. Up next is Filmo Mike. Filmo, what's up? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. How you doing, Filmo?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, man, it's crazy. The other caller was in his bag, because kids do be trying to be like Steph, but it's only one Steph. He had me juiced. But nah, Curry Liddy, man. You know, he a real one. Sometimes in his life, and I know, Dibs, you can attest to this, sometimes people get big-headed. They get caught up in a moment, and it's like, oh, man, I ain't finna talk to nobody. But LeBron was on. He did something yesterday on social media, and it's going viral because he not acting like a real one. He like, stop that. Like, shut up. You sound like Martha Stewart, bro. Calm down. Steph, take out the time. You know, we ain't got all the time in the world, but you know, take out the time, say what's up to some people, take a couple pictures, and keep it pushing. You got to appreciate Steph, man, his greatness, his humbleness, for real, for real. Big shout-out to all the Leos, you know what I'm saying?
That's it,
nah, hold on. The last thing I want to say is that Steph Curry is a GOAT because he's a hell of a person. You feel me? That's why he a GOAT. You feel like you can approach Steph. You can't eat. Draymond is not even half the player of Steph, but Draymond got vibes where he's like, I ain't finna approach him.
Yeah.
Filmo, it's Leo season. You better recognize.
Oh, he's gone.
Sorry. Absolutely incredible.
You know that, Filmo. It's Leo season.
Yeah, you got a day
we're
coming
here,
up,
yeah,
don't
we
you?
We got a day. We got a day now. We got a day now. That's my Herm Edwards. We got a day coming now.
Your family's got a bunch of days coming up,
yeah,
don't
we
you?
We got a bunch of days, yeah. Only Leo in the family, though, in the immediate family.
Okay.
A couple of Virgos, but, you know, we'll let them stay around the house.
I love the young people.
Whatever. You don't know the first thing about that, Carter. Take your vest off.
But,
what are you doing back there?
I mean,
stay a while.
Filmo is right that maybe the only thing that challenges Steph's greatness on the court is the person that he is. And it's something that you were talking, or something that I thought, as a result of what you texted us, texted the thread, or the Vine, as Guru would say,
yeah,
you said, watching Steph on Saturday, you just got an overwhelming sense of pride because he's ours. He's the Bays. He's the Golden State Warriors. He belongs to us. He's done so much for us. It is incredible to see him on that stage accomplish that. And you compared him to the other Bay Area greats, to Joe Montana, to Jerry Rice, to Barry Bonds. And something that stood out to me when I'm thinking about the comparisons between greats, and it's not that Joe Montana is a bad guy by any stretch. Jerry Rice, certainly not. Those are both great people. And Barry Bonds had his faults and had his hiccups with the media with certain teammates and everything. You never hear any of those stories with Steph Curry. All of those guys are all-time greats on the field. Steph Curry is also an all-time great in terms of those superstars that are also incredibly friendly and gentle off the court or off the field.
And you don't even think to realize how deep his commitment is to everything else he does off the court. And I know this firsthand because my kids, both my older kids, when they worked in Oakland at the Oakland Recreation, shout out Brett Clark, who was the great rec director at Redwood Heights, he took his money and he totally reworked the Oakland summer camp program, and it became a camp that he provided a bunch of money to so that all the kids in Oakland could have access to a summer camp. And it's, I think it's called Town Camp, that Steph and Aisha were big investors in, and they still are investors in, even though the Warriors aren't even in Oakland anymore. Steph lives down the peninsula and he's over in Paris winning gold. And yet his reach is so much further than just Chase Center, just the Warriors. And we know that he did Nets for Africa, for mosquito nets for so many people, and so many other things that he does that we don't even realize. And then You look at him in the gold medal celebration, and he's got his newborn baby,
Caius.
He's clutching Caius, and you know, you see Aisha there next to him, so happy. And it's like, I just hope that Steph Curry never has anything that would make us revere him any less than we do.
I'm sure he won't.
I'm sure he won't. But I mean, Grandy, almost everybody has that moment. I don't want to be around for it. If it happens after I'm gone, then let it happen after I'm gone. Because, you know, you mentioned it, like Joe Montana, it wasn't really a misstep, but his reputation now is like, you know, you call him and he wants $50,000, and he became a Chief. And I'm not sure which team I love more.
Root for the Niners or the Chiefs. Huh?
Right. And Barry Bonds, whatever happened with, you know, Balco and the rest of it, that will forever taint his legacy. Jerry Rice is mostly untainted, and you know, Jerry's the GOAT and he's been so good to us and all the rest of it, but Steph Curry is on a whole nother level.
No doubt.
As a human being. Forget basketball. Just as a human, you know, he's up there with like some of the most like lofty Americans that I've ever even thought about in my lifetime.
Yeah.
He's up there with Jimmy Carter.
The great Jimmy Carter.
And I was going to say rest in peace, but I think Jimmy's hanging in there.
I'm pretty sure President Carter is still with us.
He's hanging in there.
I'm pretty sure.
Come on, Jimmy. Hang in there, Jimmy.
Let me double check. I'm pretty sure he is.
Well, because you always give me a hard time for killing people off.
Yeah, he's still with us. 99.
He'll
be 100 October 1st.
I like his chances. Yeah, yes. I know, right?
Jimmy Carter, the great Jimmy Carter.
Come on, Jimmy. Hang in there.
888-957.
Hang in there, Jimbo.
888-957-9570. Up next is Reno. Reno's on the 5. Reno, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard. How you doing today, Reno?
Doing great. How you guys doing? Appreciate you having me on. With Steph's greatness, it's really his commitment and work ethic. It's unparalleled. I coach high school varsity hoops, and that's one of the things that I try to hit home is work as hard as like the greatest player in the basketball. If you watch the Olympics, you saw Steph sprinting without the ball on defensive rebounds to get to that spot on the floor on the offensive end. The other part of it is not just his initial movement off the ball in the offense, secondary action, like he's continually moving. So when he has the ball in his hand, it's a different type of movement that he has to go through. But his work ethic is just unparalleled, and I think that's part of his greatness, and that needs to be talked about even more.
Yeah. Yeah, good call, Reno. I think it's something that Steve Kerr has actually been talking about a lot lately. I think he talked about it on Saturday after the win over France. He also talked about it last Friday with Bonte and Chassie on the morning roast, Steph's work ethic. And part of what's been so cool for Steve, being head coach of Team USA, is kind of seeing the behind the scenes of LeBron and his work ethic. And it's very similar to what Steph does. And Steve Kerr thought back to when KD was with the Warriors. And one of his favorite memories of that era was after every practice when he'd just sit back and watch Steph and KD get extra work in after every single practice. And I think his words are something along the lines of, it's no coincidence that those guys are as good as they are and have accomplished everything they've accomplished because their work ethic is just on an entirely different level than everybody else.
And that's why I think that Steph has many more years to come and still, even though he's 36. And, you know, you think about the end of Steph Curry's career, and just watching him over the weekend made me think that he's got more years left. I don't know if he'll go full Tom Brady, but I don't see him just playing like one or two more years and saying, I'm good. And it's partly what the coach just said about secondary movement. You watch him move, and, you know, when the ball's not going his way and he cuts off the ball and he finds his way into the play, it's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, let's get into that on the other side. If Steph does have a handful of years left, maybe more than we thought, how is it going to get done with the Golden State Warriors? Because the Warriors are at a point now where you're kind of in between two areas. Are you going to go all in to help Steph try to win one more, or are you going to try to plan for the future? We'll see what the Warriors do. We can get into that on the other side, and we always have time for your calls, 888-957-9570. Before we do get on out of here, reminder to join now.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
95.7 The Game at Harding Park on Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. More on Steph and the Warriors' future coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Live on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard. He'll be back on Wednesday enjoying some family time up in Tahoe, right, Dibs?
That's right. Yeah. Just saw the Instagram post of...
Oh, they're coming, right?
Oh, yeah, on a boat. And he's on a boat. He's loving it.
Sure, yeah. It's beautiful up there right now.
Lovely, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
He's back Wednesday, and I'm out Wednesday, which is
oh,
nice.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, my young baby, my almost two-year-old, is going to preschool.
Oh, so it's a big day.
Wednesday, we have the big open house in the afternoon, and then Thursday is her first day of preschool.
That's a big day. How are you feeling? How's Supper feeling?
I'm feeling good, and sup, Dibs, my lovely wife, Supper. She's, the emotions will be flowing.
I'm sure.
The tears will flow.
I'm sure.
Like the Ganges in the fall. There will be tears, and it's going to be hard, but, you know, for me, this is my round two, and it's like, get out of the car. Get your backpack.
Go to school. We need some time without a baby at
home. Totally. We actually have a lunch reservation because Thursday's my day. So, you know, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But I do want to just take a brief moment, quick aside, to give a heavenly shout out to my dad, Dwayne Dibley. 9 years ago today, he transitioned to the other side. So my sister just texted me, reminding me that 9 years ago today, our dad died, Dwayne Dibley, who was the legend. He was the original GOAT. He is the funniest man I ever met. He is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. He was he was really it in our family. And I love my mom, and she's also passed on. But Dwayne was the dude. He grew up in Minnesota, and he was the first ever college graduate in our family.
Wow.
No one had ever graduated college.
There we go. Shout out Dwayne Dibley.
And Dwayne graduated college when I was four. So that was 1972, which means he was 37.
Wow.
And he got across
Good
the finish line. Yeah, he got it done, and he raised four kids, three nightmares, and then me. shout out the Hurricane and Mikey 1.0 and Douglas and all the rest of them. And yeah, Dwayne was it. Dwayne worked 51 weeks a year, and the only week that he took off was to go to the Humboldt County Fair. So one week a year, he would take a week vacation. He'd go to the horse races. And so coming up in 2 weeks, we're all going to go up to Humboldt for the Dwayne Dibley Memorial Race. It'll be the eighth year we've done that. So
good way to remember him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And his ashes may or may not be scattered in the winner's circle.
Uh-huh.
I can neither confirm nor deny based on, you know, the statute of limitations on whether or not that's a felony to just, like, throw human ashes all over the place. But
yeah, I don't know about that one. You have to do a little bit of research.
Yeah, I know it's frowned upon, but yeah. Anyway, Dwayne Dibley.
Yeah. Shout out to Pop.
It.
Shout out to the OG.
Thanks, Grandy.
Dwayne Dibley. Yeah. We're getting into Steph Curry here on Willard and Dibs. Willard will be back on Wednesday again. It's Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. And you said something just before we went to break, Dibs. Maybe Steph Curry has longer left as an elite player in the NBA than we've expected. I think that's been the story for a number of years now, as we were talking about. I totally agree or think that Steph Curry is better now than he was, say, 6, even 8 years ago, potentially, even when he was a unanimous MVP. It just comes so much more difficult to Steph now, and he has to work that much harder for every single point that he scores. And Dibs, watching Saturday, after the original emotion of just pure excitement and pride, after that kind of washes away, after enough time passes, and then you start to think about what comes next for the Golden State Warriors. And I got to thinking, if what Steph Curry did and the experience that he had during this Olympic game. We know how important this was to him. He's been talking about it for years. He's desperately wanted to get a gold medal. And for the way it happened and watching his emotions on the court, even before the fourth three, the golden dagger, as Noah Eagle put it, the third three, he was screaming down the court, back up the court when France is still trying to score and get back in the game. He is just letting out bellows over and over and over again. And it seems like an emotional reaction fitting of winning an NBA Finals game. Winning an NBA Finals, period, is what it felt like based on his reaction. And you have all the comments leading up to it, and Steph saying, quote, this is the most fun I've had in a really long time. You have Steve Kerr on this very station with Bonte and Shasky late last week saying he's just excited to be back in the championship hunt again. And part of my mind drifts towards, Dibs, well, Steph Curry getting a taste of this championship moment again. It sure seems like he wants to keep feeling that feeling.
Right.
And part of me wonders if maybe his thought for the future has maybe shifted just a little bit. Not necessarily, I'm not saying like leaving the Warriors necessarily, but maybe he feels at the very least, I'm still good enough, I still love this feeling enough, I still desperately want this feeling enough, that I'm willing to put my neck out there on the line and push even harder for it. And maybe that comes in the form of pressuring the organization into making a move, maybe a little bit more aggressively than he previously thought he might be willing to do.
Maybe, and I do think that he's already probably behind the scenes made his imprint on what they should do or what they could do, and that certainly is part of what you do when you're Steph Curry. Look, he's won four titles, and there's nothing better than being in that championship mix, whether it's in adult softball league or high school volleyball that I've been able to win titles doing, or under eight soccer, or the NBA championship, or the Olympic Games. Whenever you're involved in sport, you want to be there at the end and competing for the absolute biggest prize that you can possibly compete for at that level. And so Steph Curry, he's already done it four times. He's got four NBA titles, and now he's 36, and he just got the gold medal, and there's nothing like the adrenaline of what he just went through. And I have no idea what that's like, but you could see it. And you mentioned it. After the third three, he screamed. It was a guttural scream.
Like, endlessly. He kept screaming.
And I love it, because the first three, he ran down court, and he was
calm down.
We're up six. And bring it down.
Deep breath.
And he was telling the French crowd, like, look, bring it down. This is ours. And the second three, he was running over and finding Draymond Green and saying,
Screamed, don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
That was the translation.
Over and over and over. Don't worry about me. And he said it and like directly to Draymond and directly to the celebrity row. And then the third three, that was just a pure release of screams. And that was awesome. And then the fourth one, that's where he hit the night. And when he hits the fourth one, and that's the fourth one to me is the one that will be forever iconic.
Yeah.
But for me, it's all about the sequence of it. And the fourth one, we've seen it so many times, but that was one for the world. And the world, when they saw that, that was like, you gotta be bleeping.
Believe in me.
Yeah, because we've seen it so many times where that's not a shot that anyone should take, would take, or could take. And yet, we all knew. And as soon as he shot that out of his hand, I kind of knew that it was going in. And it just was ridiculous. And he hit him with the night. And then they cut to Embiid and Halliburton, and they're both doing the night and Tatum. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So yes, he wants that again, but what can this organization do? What can this team do between now and, I don't know, the end of Steph Curry's run, which might be four more years. It could be 6 years. It could be 2 years. He might want to go somewhere else. I mean, what are we thinking about Steph Curry and like where he wants to go next?
That's the question. What is there for this organization to do at this moment? It feels like they're just kind of in a holding pattern because you weren't able to make Paul George happen, whether or not you think that's a good thing or not is an entirely different conversation. But Paul George would have been a legitimate number two, a legitimate running mate alongside Steph Curry. Maybe it was the Clippers not wanting to trade with the Golden State Warriors and help the Warriors. Maybe it was they didn't like what the return would have been. Maybe it was just as simple as the Clippers wanting to get out of the luxury tax and out of the second apron, because if they were going to trade away Paul George to the Warriors would have to have given equal money back, and that would have left the Clippers still in luxury tax hell. So whatever the reason was, you missed on Paul George, and at least in the short term or in the immediate, you also missed on Lauri Markkanen. Whether that was just Danny Ainge kind of playing with opposing teams, seeing what they'd be willing to offer, but really having no intention of trading Lauri Markkanen, whoever the case is, you missed on him. Is there anyone else out there that's good enough, that moves the needle enough that the Warriors can go out and make a move for? Probably not. Are there marginal moves they could still make potentially? Some minor trades that make the team maybe a little bit better? Sure. But as Anthony Slater pointed out to you and Willard, Dibs, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, maybe it was early last week or 2 weeks ago, he essentially said something along the lines of, do you want to use some of your resources to go out and make some minor moves now that maybe improve the team? Or do you hang on to those resources, those assets, and hope that a disgruntled star pops up in the first half of the season, and then you use those assets you held on to go get a big boy? That might be the Warriors' best path, but that's kind of putting all the eggs in the trade deadline basket, because if you don't get something done at the trade deadline, and this team proves to not be good enough to win a championship or to compete in the Western Conference, then the common line that you're going to hear is, well, the Warriors just wasted another year of Steph Curry's prime, and there might only be one or two more of those years left.
Exactly. And so now you look at it in terms of where we are now versus the offseason, which is coming up here in about 8 more months. So you have the trade deadline you can deal with, and then after that you have to worry about next year. And so do you want to take one more year of Steph and think, all right, let's see what we have with Kuminga and Pods, and what can we do with this team? I don't think that this team is good enough to really compete for what Steph was just able to do. So do you get desperate now this year at the deadline, or do you take a year of more information and you don't extend Kuminga and you see if Pods can get better, and you looked and see if TJD can take another step and all the rest of it, and then you get to the deadline and maybe you make a decision, or you just go through one more year and then you figure out what you can do next offseason to try to make this team more championship ready?
What I'm worried about is, so let's essentially say that the Warriors offseason, for all intents and purposes, is done. There's not going to be a major move that completely changes the outlook for this team before the season begins. Maybe there's a slight move, but I wouldn't argue that there's going to be much, if anything, for the rest of this offseason. And say for whatever reason, it could be the same reasons that Paul George didn't happen, the same reasons that Lauri Markkanen didn't happen. You don't get a big boy in here at this trade deadline. This experience, Dibs, for Steph Curry in Paris, and watching his visceral reaction to winning another, not championship, but to winning hardware, to reaching the high in his profession, in his sport, and seeing what that meant to him, and having him say things like, this is the most fun I've had in a really long time. To hear Steve Kerr say things like, he's just excited to be back in the championship mix. If this Warriors team, again, another season without being in the championship mix, seeing the way Steph Curry reacted to winning this one in Paris makes me feel like maybe he'd be a little bit more open to the idea of, if things don't work with the Warriors, chasing one more elsewhere. I didn't think it was at all possible, but there was a little bit of me in the back of my head that's saying, the way he reacted, he still wants this, and he's still good enough. I don't think he's going to be open to giving the Warriors too much of the benefit of the doubt moving forward. And if it doesn't work out, it's frightening to me, but he might be open to trying to get it done elsewhere.
He might be, but I wonder what that looks like, because if he's making what he is currently making, and if he's making what he is projected to make based on how good he is, then is there a team that can afford to bring you in and pay you what you're making and be good enough to still make a run for a title? Because if he's going to make 60 and he's going to make maybe 65 or whatever that number is going to be, what team can bring him in and be a winnable team, a team that's ready to win a title by bringing in a $60, $65 million player in Steph Curry? I don't know if that team exists based on, you know, all the aprons and all the rest of it. So I do think that at the end of it, his best chance would be to stay and encourage them to continue to try to build around him and add around him. And if it's, you know, Kuminga that gets traded, and maybe you sign Kuminga and you give him a big contract, and then you do what you did with Jordan Poole and you trade out $40 million of Jonathan Kuminga and you bring back in a $40 million player, and that becomes a team that maybe is more ready to win with Draymond Green.
Yeah. This was Steph Curry after the game on Saturday, talking about the big shots that he made down the stretch and also how much fun he's having. Here's Steph Curry via NBC.
Got a little out of sorts down the stretch, turned the ball over, taking quick shots. And obviously that was a big shot down or up three to put us up six that kind of settled everything. And then the rhythm, the avalanche came, and thankfully the other three went in. But that was an unbelievable moment. I've been blessed to play basketball at a high level for a very long time. I don't know. This ranks very, very high in terms of the excitement and the sense of relief getting to the finish line.
Yeah, and he also said post-game on his Instagram page, he said, quote, "I've done a lot in the game, but this one is up there." That's how much it means to him. And he said post-game against Serbia after he led Team USA to a win in the semifinal, he also said something very similar. Here he is again on NBC after the Serbia win.
This is everything I imagined it to be. Obviously, this is my first go-around in the Olympics. Knew we were going to get challenged by a great Serbia team, and to have to beat them three times this summer was going to be tough. I just kind of got lost in the moment of understanding how big this stage is and what's at stake for this team, and it was special. It was the most fun, you know, I've had in a very long time, and to dig deep like we did with this group and get a win, special. So I'm kind of basking in that right now, and obviously know we got another tough challenge, France, on the home court.
Most fun I've had in a very long time. That feels like somebody who isn't just content kind of riding off into the sunset. It feels like this is a feeling and a moment that he'd be willing to chase for the final few years of his career.
Yes, agreed. But I wonder if chasing that elsewhere is something that is really feasible or worthwhile as opposed to chasing it here. And, you know, if you chase it here, you've got an owner who will do anything for you, it seems, and you've got a running mate in Draymond Green who knows you better than anybody before. I mean, Draymond was there in the second row in Paris watching you win gold. So I wonder if, like, chasing it somewhere else, what does that really look like? Do you go to L.A. and try to play with LeBron? Well, they can't afford you. Do you go to Phoenix and play with KD? Well, they can't afford you.
They definitely can't afford you.
I mean, where do you go that really makes sense where you can chase what you already have had here?
Yeah. I'm not sure of the situation. I think the feeling that I'm feeling isn't necessarily about where, but it's just about the potential inevitability if things don't go well, that Steph Curry isn't willing to just kind of hang around. And it's not that there's this perfect situation somewhere. It's just that there might be a thought in the back of his head like, this isn't working and I might want to do it elsewhere. I mean, go back to early July. So a little over a month ago when he was in Vegas preparing for the Olympics, he sat down with Yahoo's Vincent Goodwill and he was asked about his future with the Golden State Warriors. And he said this.
Winning is hard in this league, man. And the fact that we've been able to do it for this long has been amazing. Trying to keep the core together this long has been amazing. Obviously, Clay is the first one to not be a Warrior. And so it's a different dynamic. I always want to win, plain and simple. And there's no contentment on just cashing a check and playing basketball and riding it out. Like, pressure is applied on, like, I want to win and I want to be in the best position to make that happen. Doesn't guarantee anything. But until that changes and I feel that energy changes, then I go about my business the same way. And that's where I'm at.
I want to win and I want to be in the best position to win. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that I'm going to win, but I want to be given that chance. And Steph Curry might look at this offseason up to this point, and if it's coupled with relative inaction at the deadline, maybe he might feel, as he said, the energy has changed a little bit.
Yep, for sure. And you also have the idea of him coming up on an extension at the end of the year. So he's got 2 years left, and at the end of the year, he'll have 1 year left. And so at that point, he'll have a choice to, you know, put pressure on them to extend him or put pressure on them to maybe trade him or do something else, because he's running out of years. And you know, you mentioned it before how great he played at the Olympics, but he's 36. He'll be 36 this year. So, you know, you look at two more years, three, four more years, and if he still wants to win, and I'm sure he does, and he feels like and he's good enough to still impact winning at, you know, at a global stage. So what are they doing to help him? Better be something.
Yeah, does D'Anthony Melton do it for you? Does Buddy Hield do it for you?
Probably not.
Does Slow-Mo, I know you love that nickname, does right. Kyle Anderson do it for you? I mean, I think Steph is probably aware enough to know that there's a decent chance this team is better than last year. But are they going to be legitimate contenders in the Western Conference? If this is what the roster looks like come March and April? I don't know about that. I think the other thing, and we've spent the first 2 hours just singing the praises of Steph, and he absolutely deserves every single bit of it, and this is not at all a knock on Steph, while he absolutely can still reach those highs that he's reached for the last decade plus, he is still capable of doing that. We just saw it on Saturday. We also saw it on Thursday. There are also moments where maybe he's just not quite as consistent as he had been during his prime years. Like, he can still reach this peak, Dibs, no doubt. We've seen it over and over and over again, but maybe he's just unable to reach that peak as often as he possibly can. And if you go into this coming season and you have this whole season with this roster, you're going to be asking Steph to carry a very, very heavy load again. And while he is still so awesome and so great, there does come a point where you're 36 years old and being forced to carry that heavy a load over the course of a full 82-game season and might be a recipe for disaster come March and April.
Of course, and that's kind of what we saw this past year where, you know, Klay was not as good as he's been, and, you know, Draymond missed a bunch of games, and you didn't have the level of help that you need to get it done. And it's easy to look at the Olympic team and say, okay, you had KD, and you had LeBron, and you had Booker and Embiid and the rest of them, Drew Holiday, and yeah. So it's a little bit easier to just wait until the final 3 or 4 minutes and turn it on. Well, you can't do that when you're a Golden State Warrior because you don't have that same level of help.
Yeah, you do that, you might be down by 25 going into the fourth quarter.
You might be in the play-in game,
yeah,
which is what happened last year.
Yeah.
So you do need more help, but the fact that he has, you know, verbally said that he wants to still go out there and compete and win, it excites you, but it would also scare me if I was Joe Lacob.
Yeah, here's one other thing he said. That same conversation with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo, he added on, asked specifically, do you see yourself being a Warrior for life? Here's what Curry said about a month ago.
I can clearly say I want to be a Warrior for life. That's always been my goal, and I'm saying that sitting in this chair right now. But like you said, life, and especially life in the NBA, it is a wild environment, and things change quickly, and the league has changed quickly. So we're trying to adapt and evolve. And until that, I'll let everybody know if that changes. But right now, like, of course, the goal is always to be to finish my career with one team.
That's the goal. That's the goal, but maybe something else takes the precedent if he finds out he might not be able to win here. I don't know.
It may be, but I don't know what other spot he could go to where, you know, you're going to have players that are that ready to win and guys who are making that much money. I mean, if he gets to a spot where he plays out his contract here and then he wants to go play for $10 million again or the veteran minimum, then fine. Then maybe you go to a team and be, you know, part of a collective of talented players. But if he's making $60 or $65 million,
it's going to be tough to win no matter where you are.
It's going to be tough to go anywhere and make that kind of money and have other talent around you and still win.
Well, maybe that's the point. And shout out to the 707. If he wants to win, he should take less money and bring in some artillery. That might be the easiest path to get the Warriors to contention. We'll see if that's something that Steph Curry is willing to do, but he is clearly still at the top of this game. He was awesome in the Olympics. All right, time for a break. When we come back, Bob Fitzgerald, who was in Paris for a good portion of the Olympics, he joins us next, of course, voice of the Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll talk with Fitz coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Bobby Fitz coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.